This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. Today you'll hear about European health officials questioning the mask narrative, Illinois state representative calls for the abolition of history classes, and homicides are setting records in many American cities. First up, top European health officials deny masks help. John Miltimore from fee.org writes, Denmark boasts one of the lowest COVID-19 death rates in the world. As of August 4th, the Danes have suffered 616 COVID-19 deaths, according to figures from Johns Hopkins University. That's less than one-third of the number of Danes who die from pneumonia or influenza in a given year. Despite this success, Danish leaders recently found themselves on the defensive. The reason is that Danes aren't wearing face masks, and local authorities, for the most part, aren't even recommending them. This prompted Berlingske, the country's oldest newspaper, to complain that Danes had positioned themselves, quote, to the right of Trump, and the shrieks broke out. The whole world is wearing face masks, even Donald Trump, Berlingske pointed out. This apparently did not sit well with Danish health officials. They responded by noting there is little conclusive evidence that face masks are an effective way to limit the spread of respiratory viruses. All these countries recommending face masks haven't made their decisions based on new studies, said Henning Bundgaard, chief physician at Denmark's Rigshospital, according to Bloomberg News. Denmark has since updated its guidelines to encourage, but not require, the use of masks on public transit, where social distancing may not be possible. But Denmark is not alone. Despite a global stampede of mask wearing, data shows that 80 to 90% of people in Finland and Holland say they, quote, never wear masks when they go out, a sharp contrast to the 80 to 90% of people in Spain and Italy who say they always wear masks when they go out. Dutch public health officials recently explained why they're not recommending masks. Quote, from a medical point of view, there is no evidence of a medical effect of wearing face masks, so we decided not to impose a national obligation, said Medical Care Minister Tamara Van Ark. Others, echoing statements similar to the U.S. Surgeon General from early March, said masks could make individuals sicker and exacerbate the spread of the virus. Face masks in public places are not necessary based on all the current evidence, said Cohen Behrens, spokesman for the National Institute for Public Health and the Environment. There is no benefit, and there may even be negative impact. In Sweden, where COVID-19 deaths have slowed to a crawl, public health officials say they see no point in requiring individuals to wear masks. With numbers diminishing very quickly in Sweden, we see no point in wearing a face mask in Sweden, not even on public transport, said Anders Tegnell, Sweden's top infectious disease expert. Did you hear that? He's a top infectious disease expert. Somebody quote him. Send it to your mayor. Send it to your city council. Send it to your pastor. The top immunologist and epidemiologist in the world can't decide if masks are helpful in reducing the spread of COVID-19. Indeed, we've seen organizations like the World Health Organization and the CDC go back and forth in their recommendations. Whether one is pro-mask or anti-mask, the fact of the matter is that face coverings have become completely politicized, which stands to only further pollute the science. I mean, what's the chances we're actually going to get a pure scientific report now? Last month, for example, researchers at Minnesota's Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy responded to demands that they remove an article, a scientific article, that found mask requirements were, quote, not based on sound data. The school, to its credit, did not cave to the protests or remove the article, but instead opted to address the objections critics had raised to their research and leave it at that. The problem with mask mandates is that public health officials are not merely recommending a precaution that may or may not be effective. They're using force, threats, to make people submit to a state order that could ultimately make individuals or entire populations sicker, according to world-leading public health officials. Let me repeat that. World-leading public health officials. Do we listen to them? This is not just a violation of the effectiveness principle. It's a violation of basic personal freedoms. John Miltimore concludes, instead of ordering people to mask up under penalty of fines or jail time, scientists and public health officials should get back to playing their most important role, developing sound research on which people can freely make informed decisions. Next up, Illinois state representative calls for the abolition of history. No, that's what it says. Abolition. He just wants history deleted. Democratic State Representative LaShawn Ford has said history classes should be abolished in Illinois until a more inclusive... I thought they were already abolished in Illinois. I mean, you know, given how everything's been going. Anyways, until a more inclusive curriculum is developed that doesn't lead to white privilege and racism. All right. Yeah. Ford met with local leaders in Evanston, Chicago last week where he proposed the plan. This is from cauldronpool.com, by the way. He also introduced a bill in the Illinois House amending the school code to require the study of the American Civil Rights Movement. Quote, today I'm calling for the abolishment of history classes in Illinois. I would also like to call for the abolishment of government schools in Illinois. Can you add that in, Mr. Ford? Anyways, he continues. We're concerned that current school history teachings lead to white privilege and a racist society, Ford said. Ford not only called on the State Board of Education to end the teaching of history, but for the local school districts to, quote, take immediate action by removing the current history books and curriculum practices that unfairly communicate our history until a suitable alternative is developed. After he finished the press conference, the reporters asked Mr. Ford to repeat what he had said back to them, because they had already destroyed all their notes in obedience to Mr. Ford's proposal to take immediate action in removing all history from the state of Illinois. Several reporters also broke into gibberish, apparently acknowledging that language is an unfair historical advantage and represents white privilege. Still others stripped completely naked and vowed to destroy everything that took longer than 5 minutes to make. And consequently, an intense argument broke out over whether that meant McDonald's was racist or not. Okay, that last paragraph I just made up. But this man's nuts. And I would hasten to point out that the history curriculum in Illinois government plantation schools is what got us here. It's what produced Mr. Ford, I dare say. So, you know, I've got mixed feelings. I mean, abolish the history curriculum. I mean, I don't know. But I'm not at all hopeful that the replacement will be any better. This is why we need weapons for this fight, which is why I want to invite you once again to our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. We put together a package that is full of feasting and psalm singing, hearty fellowship, and a lineup of speakers who are not afraid of history. In fact, they're committed to showing you how God's word applies to politics, economics, business, education, creativity, marriage, family, much more. And we aren't abolishing any history. We're going to dig deep. So please join us this October 1st through the 3rd as we build a rowdy Christian culture. Rowdy in the sense that we love history. We love the rowdiness of God's story. We want to build that culture for God's glory and our good. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. Many cities are heading for record number of homicides in 2020. Are you shocked? Let me hear your shocked sounds. Louisville, Kentucky, WDRB reports homicides in Louisville are now heading toward a potential record-setting year. Local activist Christopher 2X, which is a great activist name, by the way, says 2020 has surpassed 2019 in total number of criminal homicides reported in Louisville. As of August 8th, Louisville has had a total of 91 criminal homicides this year, according to 2X. That's Christopher 2X. The total number of criminal homicides for 2019 was 88. That's the total number, 88, and we're already at 91 in Louisville this year. If we stay on the current shooting pace, we could get to 100 homicides by the end of August 2020, 2X said. This comes as Louisville reported a record number of homicides and non-fatal shootings in July, with 23 homicides and 79 non-fatal shootings. Christopher 2X cites the data from Louisville Metro Police Department's homicide unit. He said it's time for city or state leaders to declare the violent spike as a public health crisis. You know, actually, that's actually a public health crisis. Absolutely, it's well overdue, he said. I would welcome that from any bold Metro Council person. I would welcome that from the mayor and any other individual in the state of Kentucky, especially Governor Beshear. 2X said the drastic trend of homicides and shootings is also decreasing the rate at which the Louisville Metro Police Department can solve the cases. He says not something that can be fixed in the short term, but thinks it's going to take a long-term strategy of steering young people away from violence. But the thing that Mr. 2X doesn't understand is that long-term strategies require remembering things, and remembering things requires history classes. Meanwhile, something similar is going on in Kansas City. There have been 61 homicides. There had been 61 homicides by this time in 2018, which ended with a total of 145. The number of killings this year is also outpacing 2017, the bloodiest year in the city's history, with 155 homicides when counting police shootings. More people have already been killed this year, 95, that in all of 2014, which saw 86 homicides, not even halfway through the year, homicides in 2020 have also surpassed the totals from 2002, 1984, 1973, and 1972. The amount of gunfire in this city is absolutely horrible. Police Chief Rick Smith, former homicide detective, said last Thursday, calling the number of homicides this year unprecedented. This is from the KansasCity.com news website. Sergeant Jacob Bacina, a police department spokesman, confirmed the city has never had this many killings at this point in a year. In addition to homicides, non-fatal shootings throughout the city are exploding, apparently quite literally. The Reverend Ronald Lindsay of Concord Fortress of Hope Church said this week in a virtual town hall meeting. At least 314 people have been shot and survived this year, leaving them with physical and psychological injuries. 11 were shot June 21st, including 5 victims struck by gunfire at Bacala, an adult entertainment club, well, they probably shouldn't have been there, along Independence Avenue, police said. That number of living victims is up from the 244 people who were wounded as of June 28 last year, according to police data. In the 31 days of May this year, 82 people were struck by bullets, a nearly 75% increase compared to May 2019. And a quick search online reveals much of the same in Indianapolis, Columbus, Cincinnati, Albuquerque, and Chicago. Speaking of which, mobs of looting and violence surged through the streets in Chicago Sunday night. And Portland enjoyed its 70-some-odd night of, quote, peaceful protests with bricks and tear gas, the flowers exchanged between the lovers in Portland. And speaking of peaceful protests, keep praying for Pastor John MacArthur at Grace Community Church, who continues to stand up to a California mandate. He opened his message this last Sunday, welcoming everyone to Grace Community Church's peaceful protest. And the cheers were loud. President Trump used the same phrase, peaceful protest, to defend his private golf club's gathering last Friday. And a Nevada church is playing a similar card by meeting for worship inside a casino, since that's apparently an essential service, according to the Supreme Court. Because you know, when homicides are surging, what you need is gambling. This is Toby Sumter with CrossPolitik News. You can find this and all our shows at CrossPolitik.com or on our app, which is the only way you can break the big media embargo. Our app, the Fight Laugh Feast Network app, is our Sherwood Forest. You can get all our shows, you can watch them, you can comment on them, you can listen to them. I don't know, you can probably share them too. I don't know how it works, but it's amazing. Our app is the only way to get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey, support Rowdy Christian Media, and become a Fight Laugh Feast Club member. It's like becoming one of Robin Hood's merry men. Or women, you're all welcome. But remember, the old idea of merry is not just happy. It's someone who's full of joy, but someone who's also full of courage. It's someone who's tough. It's someone who's willing to fight. It's someone who's willing to laugh and feast all at the same time. And for a limited time, you can get your very own Robin's Merry Men t-shirt. It says Fight Laugh Feast on it, but you can just think of it that way. Also, tons of extended discussions with lots of our guests, people we've interviewed down through the months and years, down through the ages of CrossPolitik, including Biblical Parenting with Doug and Nancy Wilson, God and Government and End Times Eschatology with Gary DeMar. The two are actually closely connected. Pastors of Politics with George Grant, C.R. Wiley, and our very own Worldview Shotgun series. You will also get $100 off your registration for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference if you're a member. So become a member and then register. Just send Gabe, the water boy, an email and ask him for your super secret membership code, and he will give it to you, and you get the $100 off. So I hope to meet you in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to FightLaughFeast.com and register now. Have a great day.